Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Happy New Year, David.
Thank you very much, Sonny.
David, Nigeria's political capital, Abuja, getting ready to host the annual Confederation of African Football Awards ceremony on Thursday evening. How about a preview for our VOA football fans?
The final three are Yaya Toure, the Ivorian and Manchester City midfielder, is going for a record-extending fifth consecutive title. Previous to this, the best has been three in a row by Samuel Eto'o of Cameroon and the great Ghanaian Abede Pele. So that's an indication of what Yaya Toure has done. He's won four in a row, and he is the favorite, Sonny, to make it five in a row. And it's always dangerous to say that a record will never be surpassed. But what Yaya Toure is doing is he's setting the bar now extremely high. Now, in last year's competition, the runner-up was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabonese and Borussia Dortmund striker. He's a contender again, and my feeling is that he will once again be the runner-up. In favor of Aubameyang is his remarkable scoring rate in Europe. 27 goals in all competitions halfway through the 2015-2016 season for Borussia. That's goals in the Bundesliga, which is the German league. It's goals in the German FA Cup. And it's also goals in the Europa League, which is the European equivalent of the CAF Confederation Cup. And he has scored more goals than Ronaldo. He scored more goals than Messi, more goals than Neymar, more goals than Suarez, and you can't get much better than that. Now, that's the upside, Sonny, but the downside is that Gabon and Aubameyang himself had a pretty miserable 2015 Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea. The Gabonese started by beating Burkina Faso, but then they lost to Congo-Brazzaville. They then lost to the hosts, Equatorial Guinea, and they were out after the first round. And Aubameyang did not really make much of an impact. So it could be close. The votes come from either the national coach or the technical director of each of the 54 members of CAF. So either the coach or the director can vote, but not both. We have also got the Africa-based Footballer of the Year. And here we've got two players from TP Mazembe, the reigning African champions. We've got the most colorful character in African football, goalkeeper Robert Kidiaba. He's now as close to 40 as makes no difference. He's got this wonderful ponytailed hairstyle. And most famous of all, he's got this bottom-bouncing celebration that he does every time Mazembe score a goal. His teammate, Mbwana Samata, he's a Tanzanian. He's a striker. He was the joint leading goal scorer in the Champions League with seven goals. And particularly in the closing stages of the 2015 Champions League, he was a key figure for Mazembe. And then the third candidate is Bagdad Bounedjab. Bagdad Bounedjab is an Algerian, but he plays for the Tunisian club Etoile Sahel. And they were the winners of the 2015 CAF Confederation Cup. And Bounedjab scored six of the goals and was very much like Samata. His goals played a vital role in the success of the club. Sticking my neck out, Sonny, I'm going to go with Samata. There are, of course, other awards as well, but the big two, undoubtedly, African Footballer of the Year, Yaya Toure, the favorite, and the Africa-based Footballer of the Year. And the general consensus seems to be that Mbwana Samata will become the first Tanzanian to win this award.
David, Rwanda getting ready to host the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, exclusively for players in African national leagues. How's that tournament shaping up?
Well, this is a unique competition in that it's restricted to home-based players. So, for example, if you're a Rwandan and you're playing in the Democratic Republic of Congo, you're ineligible. You must be playing in Rwanda. Similarly, as a Nigerian, you must be playing in the Nigerian leagues to qualify. And the reason for this, Sonny, is the president of CAF is a hired two. He felt some years ago that the local players were really playing in the shadow, so to speak. The Nigerian team was composed almost exclusively of overseas-based players, and that the local players were not really getting a chance to shine on the international stage. So I think this is a good initiative by CAF. It began in 2009 in the Ivory Coast with the first tournament. It was won by the Democratic Republic of Congo, a team that included Kidiaba. In 2011, it moved to Sudan, and it also went up from 8 teams to 16, which is where it stands now. The second tournament was won by Tunisia. They beat Angola 3-0 in the final. The third tournament was in 2014 in South Africa. And again, a real fairy tale finish here with Libya. Despite all their security problems post Muammar Gaddafi, they emerged victorious despite the fact that they only won one of their 6 games. The other 5 were drawn. They won the quarterfinal, semifinal, and the final against Ghana, all on penalty shootouts. So we've had a fair amount of drama, and I think Rwanda will be no different. The first thing, and a very important issue with Rwanda, is that the head of state, President Paul Kagame, is a very keen football fan, and he's right behind this tournament. Sonny, we often hear in Africa of this official and that official and this politician backing the tournament, and they're going to do this, that, and the other. But in actual fact, they do very little. But Kagame is an exception to that rule. He gets personally involved. He has said that he expects it to be a successful tournament, and I believe it will be. And Rwanda, to me, this is a stepping stone towards hosting the Cup of Nations itself. What the little Central African country has done already is host the African Under-17 Championship and the African Under-20 Championship. So they're doing it step by step. Now comes the CHAN. And if they are successful with that, I believe it's long overdue for the Cup of Nations to go to East Africa. The earliest that can do so is actually 2025. I know the Ethiopians are interested, but I think the Rwandans will officially, sooner or later, become interested. And if they can host this CHAN tournament well, successfully, get good crowds, and we have limited problems, I think they're going to be a strong candidate. On the football field, though, Rwanda are going to find it very tough. They're in Group A with Morocco, Ivory Coast, and Gabon, and that's a tough ask. Only the top 2 will qualify for the quarterfinals. Nigeria failed to qualify for the first 2 CHAN tournaments, and in the most recent one in South Africa, they finished 3rd. They beat Zimbabwe 1-0 in a playoff to get the bronze medals, and they will certainly be among the teams to watch. They're in Group C. They're up against Tunisia, who I think will probably be their strongest opposition. They're up against Niger and up against Guinea. So there's a distinct West African flavor to that group. If you then look, Sonny, at Group D, this one is difficult to call. You've got the 2 Zs, Zimbabwe and Zambia. You've got Uganda featuring the 18-year-old Farouk Mia, who I'm never tired of mentioning on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
A very promising player, one to watch. And then we've got Mali, and this is a tough one to pick. I'm going for Uganda and Mali, but I could easily be wrong with both my choices. Finally, we've got Group B. It's Angola, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic, and Ethiopia. And for me, the 2 teams that stand out here are Cameroon and DR Congo. DR Congo and Zimbabwe, incidentally, the only 2 countries that have qualified for all 4 editions of the CHAN, which carries a $750,000 American dollar first prize. And that's certainly money that's not to be sneezed at. So essentially, Sonny, with this CHAN, we're looking for plenty of goals and plenty of good football on the field. And off the field, we'll be watching with great interest to see if Rwanda can keep up their reputation for being very good organizers of CAF international competitions.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Johannesburg is also where the South African Open Golf Tournament tees off on Thursday. Reporter Mark Tompkins has this preview for us from Johannesburg.
The European Tour celebrates its 200th co-sanctioned event this week by joining forces with the Sunshine Tour for the BMW South African Open Championship at the Glendower Golf Club in Johannesburg. By a strange twist of fate, the milestone occurs on South African soil, where the first co-sanctioned event took place 21 years ago. Ernie Els triumphed in the 1995 South African PGA Championship, and he's one of 8 former winners of this event taking part this week. Andy Sullivan returns to defend a title for the first time, having beaten Charles Schwartzel in a sudden-death playoff last year. Sullivan went on to win another two events in his breakthrough year at the Joburg Open and the Portugal Masters.
It's just nice to obviously come back to where you've won before, and just like I say, walking around yesterday, just reminiscing of shots here on the back nine and in that playoff, you know, just fantastic feelings, you know, sometimes, you know, you just can't write them things down, and it's been an incredible year, and it all started for me here, so it's fantastic to get back and hopefully put up a good performance and a good fight this week.
Trevor Immelman is the last person to successfully defend this title after wins in 2003 and 2004. Also in the field this week, Retief Goosen, Henny Otto and Morten Oren Madsen, the 2014 winner. In a Ryder Cup year, several players will have their eyes on trying to improve their chances of taking part against the USA, but their immediate aim remains focused on adding their name to an impressive list of South African Open winners.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Tompkins reporting from Johannesburg. Tunisia has named its Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year for 2015, as we hear now from Mark Ouma.
World Athletics Championship silver medalist Habiba Gribi is Tunisia's 2015 Sportswoman of the Year. Gribi was a clear winner in the poll conducted by the Tunisian media and private sector in Tunis. Gribi was runner-up in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase at the World Championships in Beijing, China. She went on to set a new Africa women's 3,000-meter steeplechase record of 9 minutes and 5.35 seconds at the IAAF Diamond League in Brussels, Belgium. Staying in Tunis, judoka Faisal Jabala is Tunisia's 2015 Sportsman of the Year. Jabala earned the accolade for bagging a gold medal at the Africa Open Judo Championship staged in Tunis and a gold medal at the Grand Slam in Samsun, Turkey. Jabala also clinched a bronze medal at the Grand Slam in Budapest, Hungary.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Ouma of our Daybreak Africa radio show, which you can hear Monday through Friday on The Voice of America. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports.